New FM.
The Novos. And this is New FM at breakfast. At breakfast.
The Novos. Oh, good morning, everyone. Oh. We are getting to the pointy end of the week. And, oh, my God, Stephen, you look a little bit on the tired side.
Oh, actually so knackered, hey. How's this? I was saying to Ari before the show, but I knocked over the kettle this morning. Ding, ding, ding. Brilliant. On the kitchen floor.
One of the loudest things to knock over as well early.
Everyone
in the
house blowing up. Obviously, I've let everyone know I'm up and leaving. The worst part is I didn't even use the kettle. I didn't even make a coffee or nothing. I was just trying to grab some stuff off the kitchen counter and my elbow incidentally knocked it.
Unreal.
There it goes.
Yeah, it is. And as you know, when you're sort of stumbling about, that's you've woken up at the wrong time for your body.
Telltale sign. When you're banging and clanging around the house, your body's gone, give me another half hour at least, please.
You coward. Let me sleep. How are you this morning, Ari? Second day up and about?
Oh, yeah, no. It's a little bit of a routine to get into again, but I'm actually quite happy.
Oh, that's good.
I've had we'll take that. Half a bag of Alan's lollies, so I'm ready to go.
I was going to say.
Breakfast of champions.
Yes. Indeed. Good morning, Jess. How are you?
Good morning. Oh, it's Thursday. I don't like Thursdays.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, well, everyone up and about. Don't worry. I'll bring the vibe. Hang on. On, guys. It's going to be a ride this morning.
The Novos. Waking up Newcastle and the Hunter.
105.3 New FM.
Only on 105.3 New FM.
So last night I'm just relaxing after a bite to eat, dinner. We had a nice Thai meal.
Right, okay.
All right. And then I get my phone just does one of these ones, right? I go, what's going on here? Pull up my message and it says, and this is a message from one of your team players on Five-A-Side, Abysmal Abilities.
Okay,
Reese,
sure.
His name is.
Yeah.
Says, tonight at Five-A-Side, Steve was dropped. Producer Scott came in and has filled his shoes no problem, cementing his spot on the squad. Steve can now enjoy his Wednesday evenings at home.
Happy days.
Been replaced.
You've been replaced.
Yeah, I was talking to Chippy about this earlier this morning, playing the bottom side of the table. No dramas. I was like, you know what? I'll let the... It's like when the Matildas play the friendlies and they let all the, like, you know, fringe young players get a game. I'll let Scotty have a game.
No. Wow. The message reads like, you're gone for good.
I'm not going for good. I'm telling you that for free.
What do you mean?
I'm the star of the side.
Now, what was the score last night? Do you know by any chance?
I don't know. I think they won like 15-2 or something like that.
16-5, right?
Against the bottom of the table.
No, but apparently...
Chippy played in goal. He conceded 5.
No.
They hadn't scored all year.
No, what you don't know is that the goalkeeper was on rotation last night and none of the goals let in were by Chippy.
You don't know that.
That's what Chippy told me.
No, you've made that up.
No, I have not. I swear to you, I have not. I wish he could defend himself here.
Well,
he can't at the moment. He's doing other work. But I'm telling you, I think the way I read that message, you're gone for good.
All right. Well, I'm happy to just sleep in anyway.
You're not bothered by it at all?
No.
Oh, well. Yeah, interesting to know.
For live and local news, there's only one.
From our 100% local newsroom in the Hunter, New FM's First at 5 with Jess.
All right, Jess, our Matildas have wrapped up for the year. What's going on?
They are. So they had their second friendly against Canada late yesterday afternoon. Our time, unfortunately, another loss, but at least it was better than the first time. 5-0 we lost by in the first friendly against Canada last Saturday. Yesterday it was just 1-0, so that's better. Emily Van Egmond, of course, our Novocastrian player, she made the starting lineup yesterday, played the full 90 minutes, did go down about half an hour in the first half, had to get the doctors on to check her leg. She kind of landed funny, but she got up and kept playing, which is good. Claire Wheeler, our other Novocastrian player, she didn't get any time on the field this time, but she did get plenty last weekend. So that's it for the Matildas for this year, and we'll see them again in February.
They're off on Chrissy Bray.
Bit of an early knock, isn't it? 6th of December. keep working for another week.
They've worked
surely.
Hard.
Oh, yeah, all right. Played a couple games, have they?
Take a whole month off.
Hey, Emily's coming back to play for the Jets.
That's
calm
right.
down.
That is very true. They're playing this Sunday at home as well.
Yay.
You want to be there.
Yeah, that'll be a good game. Switching gears a little bit, how's this very juicy scandal leak going on? What's happening here, Jess, with these new houses being built under railway stations or something?
Sure, kind of, sort of. So some documents were leaked. How you accidentally leak a document online, I'm not quite sure. But the government apparently leaked these documents online about rezoning land around train stations in Sydney, Newcastle and Wollongong. So more homes can be built on sort of around near train stations. Mm-hmm. Quite a few in Sydney, but also several here in Newcastle too. The interchange, Hamilton, Adamstown, Katara, Terrigal, Booragul and Morisset were all named on this list that was leaked for potentially over the next 4 years we could see lots and lots of new units and homes being built around these train stations that currently aren't able to be built there. We know we're in a bit of a housing crisis, so I guess it's the government's way of trying to fix that.
So in the past, they haven't been allowed to, it's too noisy or whatever, and they're like, people don't need sleep. They can just build them there anyway.
We'll just build houses.
Oh, well, hey, I guess the good thing is if more houses do get built, that is good in
the end. I just wonder where they're going to put them. Like, when you drive past that, like, one at Adamstown, when you drive over the tracks, there's already houses right up next to the tracks there.
Yeah, I don't really get it.
If I had to guess, I'm going to say that they're letting, like, instead of just houses be there, they can put up, like, a 6-story or something like that.
Right,
the train line. Because you see that in Sydney a lot, like around Hornsby and stuff. They're super tall right next to the train line. So I'm guessing that's what it's going to be, like changing the land. It is indeed.
And team, the Australian spirit, right, I feel like it's palpable. And it's been captured, it's been epitomised in Canada by one of our very own, a kangaroo.
Oh, Skippy, what's going on?
Why is it over there?
Well, the unnamed kangaroo was being transported to a zoo in Quebec and escaped handlers after leapfrogging them during a planned stop.
What does that even mean?
Yep.
So, like, they were, like, driving from... So, it was born in captivity in Canada.
Right.
So, they were transporting it from one zoo to another.
Sure.
And they were like, oh, it's a long drive. You know, Canada's a big country.
Mm.
So, they've stopped at, you know, I don't know, like a 7-Eleven or probably a Twin Servo equivalent in Canada.
Yeah,
right?
The rest stop.
Yeah, the rest stop. And the kangaroo's gotten out and leapfrogged its handlers and is, like, on the loose, I suppose, right?
Oh, wild kangaroo in Canada.
Absolutely. So, like I said, this kangaroo's unnamed, but I'm going to call it Hop Deanie. And it was at large for a whole weekend before officers apprehended her. Not without a fight, though. Here's a quote from one of the officers. So, in accordance with best practices by the handlers, the officers just actually grabbed it by the tail and then they were able to safely keep her detained in the area. Only one of the officers, however, was struck in the face during the apprehension. But he'll be just fine and we won't be pressing any charges.
He'd be punched by a kangaroo.
Oh,
basically,
gosh.
Hop Deanie's gone, not today. Too agile, you know, not without a fight, fool Ned Kelly, you'll never take me alive.
And put and clock the officer
clock
in the face.
Clock the officer in the jaw before being, you know, restrained, I suppose, by multiple officers.
Well, can you imagine, right, if they did want to press charges, off they go to court, and they're like, the kangaroo hit me in the face. Yeah, show us the video. I don't even believe it, and I do want to see the video.
I mean, if they were actual, you know, Aussie officers, they wouldn't even bother trying to take on a kangaroo. They'd probably just leave it because they know that they will get hit in the face.
But that's the thing. I don't think old Hop Deanie would do too well out in the natural Canadian climate.
Yeah, it was a little bit cold in winter there, in fact.
Used to warmer conditions, I think.
Indeed.
1, 2, 3. On new FM. This is the Novo's Three of a Kind.
All right, first chance to win, nice and early.
Come on.
Let's do this. A prize is up for grabs. Now, if you haven't heard this game, Three of a Kind, this is what happens. We give you three things, three words. You have to think, what is the theme between those three things? If you can figure that out, and do it faster than your opponent, you get a point on the board. 4967 4105 is the number to call. Now, let's find out what our prize is today, Stephen.
Yeah, we've got gift vouchers for Maniacs Axe Throwing Newcastle. Not only are they the home of axe throwing here in Newey, but also the home of Viking cocktails.
Mm-mm-mm. Ooh, that sounds good.
I know, it sounds a little bit la-di-da, doesn't it? You can go there for free on us. Plus, of course, we've got gift vouchers for Sherwood Coffee as well. Newey's best brew. By locals, for locals. So they're up for grabs as well.
All right, 4967 4105. Should we do a little example if you haven't heard how this game works?
Yeah, do you want to be quizmaster or do you want me to be quizmaster?
I think you should today.
All right, so Ari and Karimo can both play.
Yeah.
Right.
If I were to say to you guys, Woody, Buzz, Bo Peep.
Ari!
Yeah, Ari's quickest.
Toy Story
yes! Characters would be correct.
There we go. You get one of these then as well. Now, if you want to play, if you heard that and went, I knew those Toy Story sort of stuff. I know other things as well. call now, 4967 4105. You could be off to Maniacs, rather, the axe-throwing place for free. Let's meet our contestants for this morning, heading out to Curry first. Good morning, Brooke. How are you?
Morning, guys.
You doing well?
I'm doing well.
Oh, that's good.
You sound it. Try and contain the excitement for us just a little bit, Brooke, this morning, if you could.
Calm yourself down from 11 to a 10, please. All right, up against Brooke, it's Stephanie in Wall's End. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
Yeah, you're a bit more up and about, would you say?
Yeah, I'm on the way to work.
Oh, yeah, okay. What are you doing for a crust?
I work in admin.
Oh, okay, just typing stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah, sending emails, God that sort
you.
Of thing.
You'd have the radio on next to you all day, I can only imagine, Stephanie. New FM only?
Of course.
Yeah, of That's course, right. of course.
Oh, 1 point to Stephanie.
Flattery gets you everywhere on this show, doesn't it?
It certainly does. That's what we do. All right, now, of course, we need to test everyone's buzzers before we start. Brooke, you go first.
Brooke.
Working.
Lovely.
Stephanie?
Steph.
All the tech
Shortened
is ready
it as well. Cheeky,
I know. She knows how this game works, doesn't she? All right. Of course, the scoring goes first to two, best of three. Mm-hmm. Let's get into the first one. Quizmaster Ari, take it away.
All right, ladies, here we go. The first one: magpie, Rosella, and owl.
Steph
was quickest there.
Bird.
Yes.
Correct. One on the board. All right. Now, Brooke, this means if you don't get this next one, and Stephanie does, you're out. So a bit of pressure here, a bit of scoreboard pressure. Take it away for the next one, Ari.
Okay, this one's a little bit tasty. Diane, pepper, brown onion.
Steph.
Oh, Steph, so quick.
Sauces?
Are they
no.
sauces?
No. Gravy.
Oh.
A little bit more technical. I know. Sorry about that, guys.
Nah, she rules the line harsh but fair, is Ari.
Yep. Yes. All right, next
hear
one.
No complaints.
All right, this one's a bit easier. Baubles, lights, tinsel.
Brooke,
definitely quickest there.
Christmas decoration.
That's it.
Well done. That is one apiece.
That's right. So we need to go to a tiebreaker here. Everything to play for.
Get the dramatic music going, Crevo.
Yeah, I am. Calm yourself down. Here we go.
Okay. Are we ready? Cargo. Chinos. Steph. Jeans.
Brooke.
Steph was quicker.
Was quickest there.
Look, I'm
going to
say pants.
Yes!
Pants has done it!
Steph was so worried it's going to be like a more technical answer after she's been burnt the first time.
I'm wondering how technical you're going to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well like done, that. Steph. You've got yourself the Maniacs voucher. And Brooke, you're also in the draw for Sherwood Coffee this morning. Brooke, as our runner-up, can we get you on tomorrow for another crack?
Oh, I can't guarantee I'll be up.
You and me both, don't worry. I might be sleeping in as well.
There we go. That's how it works. If you heard that, went, I want to play that, you can. Same time tomorrow. We'll have it again, New FM.
And I might have mentioned it earlier in the week, but my partner Siobhan and I, one of her friends is visiting us here in Newcastle, or was visiting us here in Newcastle from Perth.
Mm.
So as you do when someone comes and visits, you play host.
That's right. You give them the tour, right?
Yep. Exactly, exactly. So while I was at work, I was like, Siobhan, you take the car, I'll catch the bus, no dramas, and you girls go out and do whatever you want, you know? What are your plans for the day?
Oh, girls on the town.
Yeah, we might go do the Anzac Walk and then a coffee at Merriweather Beach. Oh, standard.
Yeah.
I've done that a million times when you play host.
Yeah.
But, of course, you've got to, you know, show people those sights and show off our beautiful region.
Mm.
So anyway, I did give Siobhan the car, which left me stranded and at the, I guess, the mercy of Newcastle's public transport system, which, let's be honest, is pretty rubbish, it's even not at the best of times.
Yeah, it's a bit dodgy.
Yeah.
So my trip home on the bus started very poorly. I was waiting out here on Maitland Road in Sandgate. Now, the bus stop here closest to our station is not actually a physical bus stop. There's no pole, there's no chair to, like, show or even hint that there'd be a bus stop. It's just a hail and hop on.
Which is unbelievable in a city of this size.
I know.
How is there a bus stop, and I use that in inverted commas, that's no stop? That in itself's crazy.
So anyway, the first bus came, I hailed it down, just kept going.
I didn't
stop.
You're like, let me on!
So I had to wait an extra half hour for another bus. I called up Transport New South Wales. I was blowing up, full carrying it. Was blowing up deluxe on the phone. They assured me that they'll be fixing this moving forward. The lady I talked to was lovely. Oh, who knows?
It's not her fault.
Yeah, not her fault at all, exactly. What can you do? You can only shrug your shoulders and go, oh, well, hopefully it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
But my journey home consists of the Route 140, which takes me through to Mayfield, which is where I transfer onto the notorious number 11 bus.
Right.
Now, this goes right from, like, Customs House. It's like Watt Street or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
All the way through to Charlestown Square.
So you need that bit that takes you to Charlestown.
Right to the end. But on its way to Charlestown, it stops via Jesmond, via the Uni, via the John Hunter as well. All these different walks of life, which makes this bus genuinely, like, almost like a microcosm of society. You see everything, and bobs.
All your students, you got your unusual characters as well.
Exactly, yeah. Lots of people who are living in the student accommodation. There's lots of wild and wacky characters that play home on the 11 bus. And when I hopped on, the bus was pretty full. So I was lucky to nab a seat. Mm-hmm. But the stops after us were in a position where you hop on and every seat's got at least one person on it, which means you're going to have to sit next to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So this poor lady, she hopped on the bus and she was looking up and down and she's realised she's going to have to sit next to someone else. Head in hands gone, who am I going to sit next to?
She's the chosen one.
She chose me.
Of all the seats.
Which is such a compliment, obviously. I was like, I must look the most put together on this bus. Well done. But God, one of the biggest mistakes this lady's made in her entire life, just yapped her ear off for the whole 30 minutes. I forgot my headphones, so I was bored.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to annoy this lady. All the small talk in the world. Oh, pretty hot today, isn't it? You know, all that kind of... Christmas shopping done yet? Oh, no, I'm still waiting for mine as well. Don't you worry.
Oh, I'll leave it to the last minute every year, do you?
As long as this trip was for me, I can assure you, it must have felt three times longer for this poor lady.
Well, I do know one thing about you, Stephen. You are the king of small talk.
I love it. I love it. It's such a challenge to try and, like, crack open that nut, you know? People are so stingy in their responses. You got to try and, like, work a conversation out of them. I love the challenge.
Here's a hot tip. Stephen on a bus, there's a little mustachio there, and you don't want to have your ear talked off, avoid. Avoid. He still might talk to you across the aisle.
UFM is local as, and you're waking up. You're waking up with the Novos.
UFM.
And it is the season, so just a reminder that New FM's Giving Tree is up. It's been erected in Westfield, Katara. It's on level 2, opposite Angus and Goat, where it always is every year. And if you're doing your Chrissy shopping, you're in the hustle and bustle of it all, because I assume the shops are only going to get busier from here.
Oh, they are.
Make sure, well, don't make sure, but if you're in a position where you can, just grab a little something, put it under that tree, unwrapped, and we can make sure that, you know, as many people get to open a Christmas present on Christmas morning this year. That's all we're asking
that's
for.
That's the goal, right? As many, you know, we're trying to help our community here. So if you can, please drop off an unwrapped gift.
And it can be gift cards as well if you're, like, not really sure or you don't want to, like, pigeonhole it to one certain group of people, etc. Gift cards we'll accept as well.
No just, dramas.
Yeah, whatever you'd like unwrapped under that tree and that could go to someone in need this year.
And I just discovered the other day this little video from the BBC archives that, like, popped up in my Facebook feed.
Sure.
Which is this, it's like a sort of walking around the street talking to people video, and they're asking people how do they cure the flu.
So they're just getting little vox pops. Is that what they're doing?
That's right. So yeah, they're okay. Like holding the microphone up to people and asking them, oh, how do you cure the flu? And I think it's the reason it's popped up is because there's this thing going around at the moment called the Christmas cough.
Yeah.
Which is basically the flu around this time of year, which is unusual.
So they've given it a fun little alliteration name.
Yeah, the Christmas cough. That's it. So what was interesting, though, is these cures, right, they're so strange and feel foreign.
So is this video time stamped? Do we have a rough estimate of when it's from?
1950s. I think it's 1952. Okay. So it even sounds a bit old. Have a listen to this. So this is someone asked, how do you cure the flu?
Well, there is a good cure in mustard and lard.
Mustard and lard.
Mustard and lard.
That sounds disgusting.
They're old terms as well. When was the last time you heard someone say lard?
Very rarely. 1950s, probably. Here's another one food related.
I take a jolly good dose of salt and let nature do the rest.
A dose of salt?
What do you do with it? Like, that's what I want to know.
Just make your food really salty, I guess.
Dehydrate you, like sweat it out?
Maybe. Here's the most unusual, speaking of sweat.
Well, my mother recommends an old sweaty sock with salt around your throat, good pullover, and a good hot water bottle, and sweat it out.
Oh, that sounds disgusting.
Is he pulling it over his head? Or is he pulling it, like, is he just choking himself? Like, what does that do?
I don't know. That sounds gross.
Not a fan of that. I'd rather have the flu than deal with that sweaty sock.
But this is the thing. Everyone's, I guess, little cures or things that they get recommended by their parents often are often so weird, right? So around the team, what is, like, something that you've done or your mum and dad have told you that will cure the flu? Stephen, you first.
I reckon it's the only time ever that I go to like the Maggie noodles, like the 2 minute like chicken noodles.
And some reason it makes you feel better?
I don't know, like normally, because I'm a man of culture, I'm an Indo-me type man when I go for my instant noodles. But there's something about it, I don't know. When
it's the
real
chicken broth maybe.
Maybe it is, I don't know.
Chicken
something
soup.
About it just makes me, I feel like it does revitalize me. Even if it is a placebo, I feel better.
Okay, okay. All right, let's go to Ari next. What do you do to cure the flu?
I really think there is something in food. So my mum just made us eat basically veggie or chicken soup 3 times a day, every day. But then there was this other weird cure that she thought that she came up with, which was like you put like cloves of garlic in honey, and then you spoon feed yourself that.
Oh, what?
And then my sister-in-law, she garlic apparently, honey. When she was a kid, they used to boil red peppers, shut all the windows and the doors in the house, and just let the air fill up, and apparently it was a magical cure.
That sounds awful.
They're the ones you remember, though, that your parents made you do.
That's
you,
it.
Like that, you haven't come up with it. You're like, how ridiculous is this?
Indeed. Let's go to Jess in the newsroom. Now, you're a reputable journalist. What do you do, or what have you been told to cure the flu along the way?
I have my own cures, but I remember my nan, I never did it because it sounded disgusting, is you rub your feet in like Vicks or Vapor Rub, the
on
smelly stuff, and then you put socks on.
Oh, what?
Yeah,
squelching as you walk down
disgusting.
The hall.
Disgusting. Gross.
That's an absolute no from me. I'm going to avoid that one, I reckon. All right, this is what we want to do here. 4967-4105. What unusual cure have you had for the flu with this Christmas cough knocking about?
It sounds like some of these, particularly implemented by your parents, are like, well, this will make them get better quicker because, like, this is almost worse than being sick. It's like you just force your body to be better because you don't want to walk around with Vapo Rub in your socks.
I mean, that one does sound particularly odd, doesn't it? All right, up for grabs today. We've got $60 gift vouchers for Sherwood Coffee. Now, you can get yourself some food, lovely breakfast, some coffee, $60 worth, all right? That's a decent meal.
Treat yourself.
For a couple of people, exactly. 4967-4105. Let's go to Rutherford. Trish, what's your unusual flu cure?
I've got a few.
Oh, okay. What's your best one?
Oh, the best one would be eucalyptus drops on a hanky on your clothes.
Yeah.
Pillow slips and sheets.
So you've just got all eucalyptus drops all through your bed and stuff. When you roll over, is it rolling in a big bag of marbles or something?
No, you just put the drops on everywhere.
Oh, like a little dropper. Oh. Right, right.
And inky bear rub.
What's that?
It's called Inky Bear. It's like Vicks. You put it on your feet, and it's not that bad. And you put it on your chest.
I don't know about putting all these rubs and oils on feet. I'm not about that.
All the eucalyptus drops, though. Trish must smell phenomenal. She must just amazing rolling around in eucalyptus all the time.
Like you're in a big gum forest or something like that. All right, next up.
Let's go to Joe in Wallsend. What's your weird flu cure?
Well, yeah, I reckon the best one is Vicks on your feet,
what
on
is
your chest,
this?
On your back.
On your back
and
as well.
A good dose of OP rum.
Oh, well, that sounds more up my alley.
I could get behind that one. What was that last one again? Sorry, mate.
The old OP rum, mate. Swear by it.
Yeah, do you just have that by itself or a bit of ice or nothing?
No, you have it straight, mate. Have it straight in you.
Yeah, right. Straight out the bottle, eh?
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, no messing around with a glass or anything like that. That's for children.
Well, you know what? I've said it before. I'll say it again. This show not only is entertaining, but it is educational. Get that rum into your heart.
Across Newcastle and the Hunter, this is The Novos. You're waking up with The Novos.
105.3 New FM.
All right, last night went out for dinner to Bangkok Nights. Now, this is, like, in my opinion, top Thai restaurant in Newcastle. Had something I never had before, a pineapple fried rice. It comes in, they turn a pineapple, they cut it in half down the long way and turn it into the bowl, which then they serve it in.
Nah.
Absolutely unbelievable.
I'm in.
It was delicious. It blew my expectations away. That's how good it was.
I think pineapple should go on fried rice.
Well, wait till you try this one, which you might never by the look on your face. But Ari, you should try it. It's very, very good.
Anything with pineapple, sign me up.
Okay.
I've always thought, what could they improve on the classic bowl? Make it spiky and dangerous. That seems silly.
You don't hold it in your hand, mate. It's just on the table in on another plate, so there's nothing to worry about.
Oh, I don't like anything about this. Anyway, I digress. I talked about it yesterday on the show, but I ended up going to Manly for the afternoon to catch up with one of my friends who's in Sydney only for a couple of days visiting from Melbourne.
Okay, so you've zipped down the M1 in your little silver rocket car.
Absolutely.
The way you went.
And chugging along, you know, drove all the way through to Manly, had to deal with all the Sydney traffic, blah, blah, blah. You know how it is.
Oh,
no
oh,
good.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was worth it in the end because I had a lovely pub. Feed with my mate. He was thrilled as well. He was like, how good's the weather in New South Wales? Of course, being from Melbourne, I wouldn't wish that weather on my worst enemy. So we went for a swim, had a nice pub feed, enjoyed the beach. And
good life.
Kind of towards the end of the evening, decided we were going to treat ourselves to an ice cream.
Oh, how romantic.
Cream on indeed. Yeah. Yes. So we went to the little ice cream shop, the gelato shop.
So you go in there hand in hand.
Yeah, well, that's it. And we, you know, as you do, you normally have a look at all the flavours. You got to do it. A courtesy lap.
Yeah.
And look at all the flavours before you decide.
Window shopping first.
Exactly. So we're having a look at all the flavours. We've got our heart set on two flavours. Mm. So I've decided I want the Bounty ice cream.
Ooh.
Which I was like, ooh, this sounds
exotic.
Very nice. Well, I love coconut ice cream.
Right.
So I was like, this would be coconut with like chocolate, right?
What, winning on winning.
That's it. Perfect. Two birds, one stone.
Mm.
Two flavours, one cone. I was thrilled. My mate, however, he went for like a mango sorbet. Anyway, so
fresh.
Yeah.
Going for the fresh option.
Yeah, that's it. So we're both like, we had our flavours in mind. We're like, let's go. We're ready to order. So we jump in line. And as it is, you know, it's popular summer. Line's pretty long. Lots of families there enjoying the coast as well. And this family in front of us are a family of six.
Oh, here we go.
And oh my goodness, the amount of time it took them to order is absolutely unbelievable. I've got a question, just amongst you two.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think? I'm sorry to throw you on the spot. But what do you think is, how many ice cream flavors can you try before you've got to buy one? How many is too many?
Okay. No, okay. So I think the maximum is three.
Because they've got the little spoon, right?
Yeah.
You get to have your like little courtesy sample.
Yeah. So I think if there's a lot of flavors on offer, I think you can choose up to three. So you
can try.
You can choose, this is my view, you can have a fresh one, like a fruit or something, and then you can have...
Oh, so there's rules to these three.
Absolutely. Right?
Right,
and then
okay.
you can pick two from the like chocolate caramel type world.
That, right,
and then
okay.
Once you've done three, you're just taking the mick.
I agree. What do you think, Ari?
Well, I'd look, okay, if there was enough people lined up behind you, I would probably try one or two. However, if I was the only person in the shop or it was my only family there, I would be trying as many as possible because I would want as many free scoops as I could. So probably about eight.
Well, you and the lady in front of me at this shop would be best buddies, honestly, because she had, and I kid you not, she tried seven different ice creams before settling on none of them and getting an eighth different flavour.
Oh, that is ridiculous.
Once you've tried seven ice creams, you've basically got yourself a free scoop, haven't you?
Of course.
she feels like she's straight out of one of those like clickbait articles. Here's this one tip all ice cream shops don't want you to know.
Absolutely. Unbelievable. And, like, she sorted all her family before her as well. She was last, still hadn't decided on her flavour. Oh, my God. When have you ever had an ice cream and you're like, this is awful? You'll enjoy it regardless. Just pick an ice cream and have it.
If I had that shop, I'd put her photo up on the wall. Do not serve this lady.
Like the old IGA Wall of Shames from like the early 2000s. The cork board. Get her photo up on that.
Get her on the cork board.
And 'tis the season, officially in December. We're like, less than 3 weeks away from Christmas.
Oh, my God.
Get excited.
It means households right across Newcastle and the Hunter are now binging Christmas films. Favourite Christmas film quickly amongst the team?
Christmas with the Cranks.
Christmas with the Cranks. You've absolutely crumbled there. You're under the pressure.
That's terrible. Home Alone. The original.
Home Alone, which is a lot of people's favourite as well. Now, Home Alone is unrealistic for a lot of reasons, right? You know, like obviously a kid's not getting left behind, he's not setting up all these booby traps, etc., etc. But one TikToker by the name of Jeffrey Lyons has discovered, I guess, the most unrealistic thing about the movie, and it's the fact that Kevin McAllister gets his Christmas shop for $19.38 in the movie. Now, we all know the cost of living crisis is absolutely immense at the moment. We also know that, like, inflation has caused the supermarkets to raise prices like you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
So one TikToker by the name of Jeffrey Lyons has gone through and he's broken down Kevin McAllister's shop item by item.
Oh, lovely.
To figure out how much it would cost today. So here's a little bit of audio from what he's kind of broken down in his TikTok.
$4.50 for the orange juice, $4.50 for the saran wrap, $13 for the Tide, $3 for the Wonder Bread.
Now, obviously, he's full of life, old mate.
Oh, God, what a bore that guy is.
Not the most exciting delivery on this topic. But you can check it out if you want. Like I said, his name's Jeffrey Lyons on TikTok. Goes through item by item to figure out what it would cost in today's market. So what's it? Well, the movie came out in 1990.
Mm.
So what's that, 30... Three years?
Yeah, 33 years.
Is my maths right? Yeah,
you are
33 years ago. Lots of stuff's gone up since then. Does anyone want to have a guess at how much that $19 shop would cost these days?
Ari, you can go first.
I reckon it's blown out massively. I'm going to say probably $90.
How much do you reckon, Crevo?
So if I had to do... So remember, like, the last few years, things have doubled. So I don't know, $40, 20 to 40.
In the middle of both of you, it's a whopping, right? You got a drum roll there?
Yeah,
you can do a little drum roll.
No, I don't actually.
That's all right.
Oh, hang on. How about this? This is pretty serious. It's got $20 in 1990, Home Alone.
I can reveal that in today's market, in today's economy, this shop would cost you $68.
Oh, close. Best part of $70.
Three and a half times more than what it cost back then. Absolutely outrageous, isn't it?
I don't feel like wages have gone up at the same rate.
No, you know what? I don't think they have either.
I think we're all a little bit worse off, and Home Alone has reminded us of that. Merry Christmas, everyone. It is the season. Story from Charlestown here. After this family's putting up some Christmas lights, they're up in one of the apartment situations, and they go to throw this, like, roll of lights over a tree. Mm-hmm. The idea is, like, then, you know, the tree will look like a little Christmas tree out the front of their flat.
It's the classic, like, toilet paper technique on Halloween,
yeah,
but they've done it with the Christmas lights.
Exactly. So they're throwing this roll of lights, and unfortunately, said lights have then hooked around the power lines instead
danger.
Of the tree, which already you'd think you would then like call someone to sort it out. Unfortunately, they decided, oh, we'll just try and tug them down, which is less than ideal because they've ended up with a big old electric shock. Yeah, oh, that's a perfect example of what an electric shock sounds like on a cartoon. What I thought we could do here, 4967-4105, Newcastle's electric shock stories. Maybe it's something with the Christmas lights because they can sometimes have a dodgy connection or whatever, or maybe it's some other way you've gotten it. Electricity can be a tricky mistress. So I've got a mate who is a heavy diesel mechanic, right, but he's also fairly dyslexic.
Right, that's not a great combination.
No. And he's one of these people that thinks they can do everything. So he always, even though his normal work is like heavy diesel mechanic on big machines, basically, in the mines and stuff, he also tries to do his own mechanics, right? And this one time, he had a flat battery and he got himself a new battery for the car, touched the wrong terminal with the shifter. I saw it was like a cartoon. He got thrown across the yard.
Really?
Big shock. Yeah, because it's a brand new battery. And he's like, just touched the wrong bit. Boom. Because, of course, in his mind, it was the right way around. But unfortunately, it was not due to his dyslexia.
Did he change careers after that?
No, he's still a diesel mechanic.
Oh, my God.
And as confident as ever, yeah. I can imagine.
Tightening up bolts the wrong way and all that sort of stuff is well into that.
I've had a classic run-in with the electric fence, like visiting an auntie and uncle on a farm. So they live out on a farm. Mm. And like your uncle, classic, stitches you up when you're little. He's like, yeah, have this carrot, go feed the horses. You trot over towards the fence. Of course, you're going to lean across. You want to pat the horse. There you go.
He's giggling away on the side.
He's like, I've done him. He's whispering to everyone, look at this. Come, make sure you're watching this. Getting zapped. It's all good, of course. The thing that hurts the most is the surprise of it, almost.
Probably.
The shock, the jolt, if you will. Mm-hmm. All right, this is what we're doing. 4967-4105 with your electrocution stories. Maybe it's something innocent like that, or maybe something a bit more intense. We've got up for grabs a $60 gift vouchers for Sherwood Coffee. Now, they've got amazing food there, delicious coffee. $60, you can go with a mate or whatever, or just, you know, treat yourself.
And they're Nui's Best Brew by locals for locals as well. Plus, they've done us a little favour. You search Sherwood Coffee, download their app, and you get your first coffee free with the code FIRST.
Brilliant.
Where's Curry first? Danielle, what's your electrocution story? Sorry.
So, it didn't happen to me, but it was my sister.
Mm-hmm.
We had a caravan out the back of our house, and there was a bit of Play-Doh in one of the PowerPoints.
How'd that get there?
I don't know, it was a secondhand caravan.
Right, okay.
Being older, we knew not to touch it, but my little 3-year-old sister was picking at it.
Oh.
And she went flying over the other side of the caravan.
Oh, my God.
She hit her fingers. So, yeah, she's got the weird fingernails now. But
Oh, I burned off.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. She's lucky to be alive, though, really, isn't it?
Yeah, she really is. So we took her to the hospital. Mum and Dad did.
Yeah.
And they did scans, and she actually had a ring around her heart from it.
Whoa. That doesn't sound like the normal thing to have there, does it?
No.
What do you mean a ring around your heart?
Like a sort of scar tissue or something, was it?
I'm not too sure. I didn't care at the time. I was just a teenager.
You were just like, back to holidaying. Bloody hell.
She's fine. Yeah. Look at her.
Let's get to the beach. Hurry up.
Come on.
Stop picking at the PowerPoints. You've learnt your lesson. Wow, amazing. Yeah. Lucky to be alive, though. That is an incredible story.
The Novos. What's the goss? UFM.
Yeah, so earlier in the week, our favourite producer, Scott Chippy Frappell, he mentioned that the finalists had been announced for Time Person of the Year.
Very interesting.
Now, I can reveal that the winner was announced early hours of this morning, and it was NFL star Travis Kelce's girlfriend, some lady called Taylor Swift, I think. Anyone heard
Swizzle.
Of her?
Look, I've heard of her along the journey. She's doing all this, like, singing and whatnot, isn't it?
I think it's music is her main forte.
Yeah.
Now, Ari, you're not stoked about this, right?
Look, I just feel a little bit disappointed. I mean, I just thought that, you know, okay, can we get someone who's not a singer, maybe someone who might be a world leader or somebody who, you know, just doesn't, you know, sing on stage and appear in album covers and stuff like that. Yeah.
Like, a lot of the people at the staff at Time Magazine were like, let's choose Taylor Swift, but...
But you said no.
You're not a fan. You don't like her. What problem do you have with Taylor Swift?
Oh, look.
You just don't think she's that talented.
No,
I tend to agree
don't
with
put
you.
Words in my mouth.
I actually agree.
No. She's all right. No, she does all right. Some of her songs are she's good. All right. You know, she's got a lot of fans.
You think it could have been someone more influential?
Yeah.
Like absolutely. A better singer or something. Or an actor or something.
Just someone else. I just didn't really feel the whole singer vibe. Okay.
Don't all let Crevo right. wind you up either. He will just sit here and chip away at you until eventually you concede. You mentioned world leaders. Taylor Swift did beat out some other world leaders. Sure. I mean, people like King Charles III, Barbie was defeated, Xi Jinping, Vladimir Putin. Now, it is worth mentioning as well, Scott mentioned it earlier in the week, the Time Person of the Year is not like the best person,
no.
if that's the term. It's just like the most influential.
Mm.
So, yeah, so Taylor Swift named Time Person of the Year, and obviously with that being the cover star, she's done the big extensive interview, released a couple juicy details in this
really?
Candid interview as well.
Ooh.
Something that caught my eye was her workout routine, getting ready for her concert. Because she did 44 songs, massive, like over nearly 3 hours worth of music, right?
Well, she said, 3 hours of work and you reckon it's a big day.
Well, it's lots of exercise and stuff involved. I've never seen you get up off that chair, Creebo.
That is true.
She said every day she would run on the treadmill and sing all the songs. That was her workout. And she'd like run faster for the fast songs and jog or like a fast walk for the slower songs.
Sounds like my typical workout every day.
Singing at the gym.
Why didn't I win this award?
Well, good question.
I'll make sure you're up for it next year. She also talked about her feud with Kim Kardashian. So this comes
juicy.
After, I mean, this is years ago now. Kanye released a song suggesting that he perhaps made Taylor Swift famous. I won't quote it, just paraphrasing it there.
Yeah.
But basically, Taylor Swift not happy with those lyrics, not happy with, I guess, diminishing her work and her fame. So she was like not happy with this. Then Kim K defended Kanye by releasing recordings of an alleged phone call in which Taylor approved the lyrics. She said in this interview, "You have a fully manufactured frame job in an illegally recorded phone call which Kim Kardashian edited and then put out to say to everyone that I was a liar. Make no mistake, my career was taken away from me."
Interesting.
Big allegations. She's gone on to say, "This took me down psychologically to a place I've never been before. I moved to a foreign country, didn't leave a rental house for a year, and was afraid to get on phone calls. I pushed away most people in my life because I didn't trust anyone anymore."
Wow.
But from that place of, I guess, hardship, she has released some phenomenal music. She's done very well. I guess through the struggle has come. Pressure makes diamonds. That's what they say.
Indeed it does. And it has for her. I mean, all the luck to her. You know, she's not a bad singer in Ari's words.
The other thing as well is you've just got to take whatever Kanye says with a grain of salt, you? Like, you can't let that rattle you.
If you're taking him too seriously, you're not understanding normal people, is what I'd say.
And I mean, look, she came out on top with this award, this little accolade that she's got now, and plus one of the most gorgeous NFL players. So she wins.
She is winning overall. Another little award as well, just to wrap things up.
Sure.
GQ Man of the Year last night in Sydney went to Troye Sivan.
Yeah!
Absolute pop sensation. Pop what prince else? Of Australia, really.
Definitely. I guess appropriate winner. He's a good-looking rooster, isn't he?
He's
very good-looking man. Very talented as well.
Listen to us all fawning over him. Obviously, the right man's won. Yesterday, I had to take my dog, my whippet Molly, in for her yearly like vaccinations and checkups.
Right, okay.
Right, so I went into the Mayfield Veterinary Hospital, which is just the local yokel vet down in like on Maitland Road there. They're really good there. So everyone... Like, I don't even pick, like, what vet I want because they're all just really good. Doesn't matter.
Get you in first.
Exactly. Yeah. They're all really good. What I love, though, is the waiting in the, like, little waiting area because the characters that are in the vets are always so interesting. Like, the people are there with their little pets waiting along the way, always so funny.
Well, pets, I guess, are one of the, like, universal truths in this world, aren't they? Like, doesn't matter what walk of life you come from, most people have lived with a pet at some point in their life.
Yeah, that's
right. I've interacted with a pet. It's one of the great equalizers in this world.
That's right. So what's often great is not just the pets themselves, but often like the pet reflects the person or the other way in some.
It does every time.
It definitely does.
Maybe not in looks.
Not in looks necessarily.
But personalities. I reckon, there's something
The first one I noticed as soon as I came in was the fur baby Fretta. Now, this was this lady, right? She's sitting there with her dog, and she's so worried about the dog. The dog's not even that bothered to be there,
yeah.
Right? But she's so stressed, like her hair's all disheveled, like she's, you know, she's looks like she's fallen over the car park and got a bit of dirt on her
well,
knee.
Well, obviously, she's rushed out of the house.
Rushed out of the house. Oh, the vet appointment, I forgot. You know? She's zipping down the road, like she hasn't even, like her hair, like her clothes are half, you know, disheveled as well.
Yeah.
And the dog's just sitting there chill, doesn't bother, not bothered about a thing. Then you've got the aloof floof, is what I'm calling it. Right, now this is one of these dogs that have been done up to the nines. I reckon they've gone in for like a wash, blow dry, you know, blow dry the day before to be ready for the vet. This dog, I'm not kidding, had a little bow on it, just around its neck, ready to go, just to be like showing off, you know, I am prepared for the vet. Now this lady, she's all like put together, you know, just perfectly manicured, and I swear matching with the dog. They both had their nails done the day before or something.
Unbelievable. And this is Maitland vet.
No, no, Mayfield, right?
Mayfield vet.
You get all the characters in Mayfield.
Not in Melbourne. So no. It's like, you know, high society Melbourne.
No, then you've got the fat dog feeder. Now, this lady, she was skinny as a rail, but the dog, like, it needed to go on Weight Watchers. I'm not messing around. Like, anyone can look at it. It was like a poodle type of thing, and it looked like it was blowing up like a balloon, like someone had put a balloon inside it, and it expanded at some point. It's been given way too many treats. And you could sit there watching, and she literally handed a treat to it as we're watching. I'm like, give that dog a break. It needs a bit of time off. It needs to go to, like, you know, boot camp or something.
She must be, like, living vicariously through this dog.
Right?
Yeah.
She's like, I can't have a treat myself.
No.
Whenever she gets a craving for one.
She gives one to the, here, have a schmacko. That's what. Anyway, Molly went in for her, like, vaccinations and whatnot. Most nervous dog out there.
Aww.
Shaking like a leaf, literally. Aww. And they put the little stethoscope up to, like, listen to her lungs. Like, I can't hear anything. Her teeth are chattering. So anyway, luckily,
oh, poor thing.
She
poor
hated
Bob.
It. The vet's like, oh, good. They got down on the ground and literally gave her the injection while they were kneeled down on the ground. Oh. So I think instead of the, I wasn't the fur baby fretter, but my fur baby was fretting big time. So if you want to see a microcosm of society, Mayfield vet, just stand in the waiting room. You'll see it all there.
UFM. The Novos. And this is New FM at breakfast. At breakfast.
And team, we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks the excitement and anticipation, around Newcastle Ocean Baths.
Oh, it's getting close.
I'm ready.
Getting close. Lots of rumours. Crevo, you said a couple of days ago that you'd seen sand in the bottom there.
Not me personally, but somebody said they'd seen it. I was like, what, real sand? Like, yeah, absolutely seen it. That means the pumps have been turned on.
There is excitement building and building, and I've seen a post on Friends of Newcastle Ocean Baths Facebook. Facebook page.
Ooh.
They sound like they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Picture yesterday, 8:56 p.m. Full of water, ready to swim, it looks like.
Oh,
now,
my God.
Apparently, there's still a bit of work to be done on the periphery, on the outside, bit of edge work to be done, but looking like we're still on track to be swimming by Chrissy.
Oh, my God. This is extremely exciting. Everyone around Newcastle can't wait for this.
Yeah, but this is not a drill. Water in Newcastle Ocean Baths. It feels like it's been forever. That first dip is going to be so, so sweet.
Indeed it will be. I've got a bit of a dilemma, guys. I need some help.
Right, okay.
Go for it.
I'm going to open up the brain's trust, if you will. So my godson, about 6 years of age, Christmas time is coming. Of course, I want to get him a gift.
You've
right?
got to. Keep in the good books.
That's right.
One.
Yeah, and it should be a good one. So I've already gotten organised around that. I know he likes Sonic the Hedgehog at the moment, which is a classic. So I'm thinking something along the lines of that. I've found a couple of things Sonic-based that I'm probably going to get.
Right, okay.
Here's my dilemma, though. My godson has a three-year-old brother.
Mm-hmm.
I am not the godfather of said brother.
Okay, yeah.
I've not been bestowed that honour. Do I still need to buy a gift for his brother? his younger brother, 3 years of age. I'm not really sure if I need to. Is that my responsibility? Do I get something lesser? What do I do in this situation? Around the team first.
Got to get him a gift.
You reckon? Same value?
I think so. Gut feeling. Yeah, Christmas is about making sure everyone's included. You can't have, like, it's actually, as a kid, it's so heartbreaking when you've got one less present to under the tree to unwrap on Christmas morning.
Yeah, 3 years old. Do you even know?
No.
I wouldn't.
I reckon 3 years old is the most excited you ever are for Christmas. Your first Christmas, you don't know what's going on.
Mm.
And then second Christmas, you start to figure out the pattern. By the third year, you're like, come on, this is coming. How good's this?
All right, Ari, what do you think?
Okay.
Do you think I need to buy a gift for the younger brother, 3 years of age? I reckon I can skip it, I'm thinking. I'm hoping.
Skip it because, you know, he's not technically your responsibility. However, I am on the fence and will say if you're going to get more than one present for your godson, so get him like three or four or something like that, you know, just a handful of prezzies.
Old Cheapskate Crevo is not getting three or four.
No, well, he might. But if you're getting more than one, maybe just, you know, just drop the little one, maybe just one present.
One little one.
Kind of just make it even enough, you know what I mean?
Less even, like some gifts are less than others.
Are you in contact with the three-year-old's godfather? Like the sibling's godfather? Do you know who that person is?
I do not know.
Right.
I do not know who it is.
Okay, I'll set this scene for you, Cravo, and you tell me how you'd feel about this. Christmas morning, you've sent your godson one present.
Yeah.
You've gone, well, the three-year-old.
My job's done.
Yeah, it's his godfather's responsibility to get him a present.
Yeah.
But his godfather's not only got the three-year-old a present, but your godson a present as well. He's gone and done both, and you've only done one.
I would look worse off.
You would look like an absolute mug, wouldn't you? You can't be having that. Oh. You can't risk that.
All right, well, this is the situation I'm in. Newcastle, I need your help. 4967-4105. Do you think I need to buy a gift for the younger brother of my godson, 3 years of age? If I don't buy it, am I going to be in trouble? Stephen's saying I need to buy. Ari's saying don't worry about it. This is the situation we're in here.
4967-4105. And, of course, for exchanging your opinion, we can give you a present in the draw for $60 to spend how you like at Sherwood Coffee, the newest best brew, buy locals for locals, and that could be all yours.
Let's find out from Newcastle what they think. First of all, let's go to Greenkeeper Pete. What are your thoughts? Do I have to buy it for the young...
No, I reckon no, because how long is a piece of string? What if he buys the mother and the father a present? Do you buy them one too?
Yeah, good question. All right, so your team, Ari, at this point.
It's not about competition. It's about the feeling you get when you give. What's going on here? This is outrageous.
All right, all right. 1 point on 1 point to Team Ari. You're saying it's not a competition, but I say it is.
All right, where are we going next?
All right, Kate and Patterson, what are your thoughts?
Okay, so you're such a rookie at this. I got you sorted.
Oh, thank you.
you got to buy another gift, but it's same size, not same value. So you buy the Sonic Lego for the kid you're morally bound to, and then you go to the reject shop and get some cheap, like, beach toys for the three-year-old. They'll be excited over anything for $5, and then you're sorted.
Okay, I like that solution.
Yep.
Christmas is not a chess game.
Well,
I actually
can't believe
the discourse that's going on in this studio this morning.
You know what? I actually think it is a chess game. The more I learn.
All right, well, let's go to Mount Hutton. Sarah, what are your thoughts on this situation?
100%, you've got to get that child a present.
Thank you.
100%. I have a 3-year-old and 8-year-old son, and I have to even get the same things. So, you know, if one of them's getting a scooter, the other one has to. If one of them's a superhero, the other one has to.
Otherwise, what happens?
Oh, it's just hell breaks loose. But,
you've got to avoid the heartbreak. Look, and you know what? I'm going to go rogue here, Sarah. I'm going to give you the $60 to Sherwood. Congratulations. I haven't consulted with the team, but you're the only person on my side. So congratulations. The new best brew. Buy locals for locals. $60 well coming your way. Well done.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, I think. That is us done and dusted for today. Have a great day, everyone. What are you guys up to, the Savo? Steven, you got a bit of a nap plan?
Massive nap plan. plan before my basketball semi-final tonight. It is getting to the pointy end of the season.
Now, Ari, what are you up to? A date with a chicken carcass, is it?
Yeah. Now I'm going home to finish off, a cooked chicken, and might go for a run later, but I'm not sure in this heat. We'll see.
Okay, there we go. Done and dusted.
And, of course, we will be back tomorrow for your Feel Good Friday. More meat thanks to Singo's up for grabs. Plenty more prizes. Local winners only here on New FM.
See you then.
Bye. I've been listening to your show on the radio.
You've been listening to the Novos. Would you like some more? Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or newfm.com.au to get more now.